Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'm here in the studio with Pastor John Lutz. If you were listening here on the air in the past half hour, I was on with Pastor Lutz during his program for the Cause of Christ, and Pastor Lutz is with me now. We're going to be continue our conversation about Christmas, and as I said last week, we're talking about some of the myths and misunderstandings about Christmas, as well as the meaning of Christmas. And Pastor John Lutz, welcome to the program today.
Well, thanks for having me, Brother Al. Appreciate your friendship and appreciate you allowing me to be on with you today.
Well, and I'm glad you came up with the idea to combine our programs this week because, you know, we talk about a lot of these things, questions come up about Christmas, and if you're just tuning in, let me encourage you to visit us on our webpage at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Here in the next few days, I will have the programs uploaded there. You can listen to past programs there, and I'll have the program that we just did with Pastor Lutz, and we were talking a bit about Jeremiah chapter 10 and the Christmas tree, and that's all there on live. That will be there. Also, you can go onto our Facebook page, facebook.com/ Live with Pastor Al. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And we are live on there right now. And you can also listen to the program there. If you'll just click on the link, I apologize that the video is not the best quality there. The studio here doesn't always have the best internet access during the daytime. Too many people trying to get in.
Right.
And but the audio comes through. Again, we are talking about Christmas. Christmas is coming. Sunday night is Christmas Eve. And let me invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We're having a Christmas Eve candlelight service at 6 o'clock. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express located at 5171 Brecksville Road. That's Northern Summit County in Richfield, right where Interstate 80, that's the Ohio Turnpike, and Interstate 77 meet. And you can find us there at 5171 Brecksville Road. And of course, we'll have our regular morning service, morning worship service at 11 o'clock. And then our evening service at 6 o'clock, we'll be doing our Christmas Eve candlelight service. And Pastor John Lutz, you have something also on Christmas Eve, don't you?
We do. Actually, very similar time structure. We have 11 o'clock Sunday morning, our normal Sunday morning service, and then Sunday night as well at 6 o'clock. We're also doing our candlelight Christmas service, so we're looking forward to that. And it looks like all you sentimentalists who want snow for Christmas and Christmas Eve are going to get it. So I just say thanks a lot for that one.
Oh, but you're welcome.
I'm not a big fan for that one. But anyway, it looks like we're going to get some snow, but we're forging ahead. That's an important day. A lot of people come. You know, this is the time of year people start to examine their life, begin to renew commitments. You got New Year's Eve coming up, New Year's just around the corner. So it's a great time to renew that commitment, get back to the church house, find a place where you belong. And I think North Coast up by the lake is a great place to do it. If you're in Richfield, Summit County, out that way, and it's a great place out there. And by the way, there are multitudes of great churches in this area, both east and west, Brother Al.
Right, right. You're out on the east side, right? No,
yeah,
you're
right.
On the west side.
Everything's north and east of you, though. So listen, if we can get you in touch with a great church in the area. And that's, I love that about Northeast Ohio. You really, there's no excuse not to find a Bible preaching church. Yeah. And if you want to identify it as a independent Baptist church, they are all over from Ashtabula to Toledo and, man, down to, all over to Ohio. I mean, it's incredible.
And just a reminder to stay tuned because Pastor Andy Rusnacko comes on after this program at 2 o'clock. And, of course, they're out on the east side. I almost said west side.
You almost
out
did
on
it
the
again.
East side. And I get my eyes crossed and I forget which way. is which, you know. Up in Richfield, we look up north, you know, to you guys, and it's all downhill.
Everything's from Cleveland from you guys.
Yeah, everything's, it's all downhill from us.
That's funny.
But Pastor Risnacko out at the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio, and I believe they're having something coming up on Christmas Eve as well. So you can listen to their program afterwards, and there's information there too, I'm sure. But we're going to get into some things here, and again, remind you to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. But we were talking about the Christmas tree in Jeremiah 10 in the last half hour, and some other issues we had just gotten into, some questions dealing with did the early church celebrate Christmas, and kind of a broad topic narrowing down into the idea of what day was Jesus actually born on. And then another thing we wanted to touch on was this idea about the throne of David. And this is one of the reasons Jesus came into the world. Yeah. And before I forget, we are on live. And let me remind you, if you've got a question about Christmas and want to give us a call, you can call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to get you on the air with us here this afternoon and talk about this. But the idea is that was Jesus born on the 25th? And why did he come into the world? And one of the reasons was to take the throne of David. And I bring this up, and I don't want to get ahead of myself. We'll come back to this. But I bring this up because some people, and I heard somebody just recently on the radio get irate over somebody that for bringing up the throne of David. Yeah. And they tried to say it's not in the Bible. So we're going to touch on that too. But first of all, we wanted to get back to this idea. Was Jesus born on December 25th? Does it even matter? And what do you think about that?
Well, as I mentioned in the first half hour, again, I think there's some points that we allow, what did I say, make a mountain out of a molehill. Now, some may take issue because, well, it's this, that, you know. To me, it's in the intention of the heart. It's, you know, am I doing this for the Lord? Am I doing this for myself? And, you know, I don't think some things matter as much as other things. And I guess let me say this too. I'm not opposed to all different customs that we celebrate. Every nation has customs that it celebrates in its various beliefs. But we believe in individual liberty. We believe in religious liberty. We believe in the things that Paul talked about whether I want to be involved in it or not be involved in it, when I want to be involved in it, when I don't want to be involved in it, you know. And I don't put a lot of stock, and to me, it doesn't matter as much when exactly it was, other than for the sake of trying to figure out the truth, because Jesus said he came into this world to bear witness unto the truth. So we want the truth. We want to understand it. I think some of the problem is there's been such a watering down and infiltration of error within history, both secular and church type history, if we can use that term. I think there's a lot of muddy water there, and I don't know if it's worth trying to strain the water to get the mud out, if I can, you know, if you know what I mean, Brother Al.
Yeah, and yeah, we do. We get caught up in minutia sometimes, and we lose track. You know, the old expression, can't see the forest for the trees.
Right.
We lose track of the big picture, why Jesus came. And another thing that people, I think, get caught up with some of the minutia is, you know, should we or shouldn't we celebrate Christmas because, the early church didn't celebrate it. But I think in the big picture, they were so more consumed with the fact that the Messiah had come and he came into the world, and they were more interested in his mission. And it is true that in the early centuries, the birth of Christ was not necessarily a big celebrated holiday.
Right.
But they did talk about it.
Sure.
And I had mentioned previously that there are references to it as far back as Hippolytus in the second century, who believe that Jesus was born on December 25th. So, and there are others, and I'm not going to get into all the details there, but it is apparent that all the way back to, I meant the second century.
No, you said second century.
Okay, yeah. Second century. And so, you know, we look at people who live within 100 years of the birth of Christ who are talking about Jesus being born on December 25th. But the important thing is they were talking about the importance of the birth of Christ. Now, did people in the early days of the church talk about the birth of Christ? Let me put it this way. They did in the first century. You know how I know that? I read the book of Matthew. I read the book of Luke.
That's right.
I read things in the Bible that were written in the first century.
Yeah.
They talk about the birth of Christ.
Sure.
And so obviously it was very important because it was a fulfillment of Scripture. And you earlier had started to talk about, I think in the last half hour, about in Isaiah. Did you want to go there to Isaiah chapter 9, I believe it was? And we can segue from this into the throne of David.
Okay. Yeah, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Now, that's the important thing. Now, that, of course, predates any celebration of Christmas, but sure. It was a prophecy of the coming birth of the Messiah, who would be a descendant of David.
Yeah.
King David, who, of course, he conquered Jerusalem in about 1000 BC, and he set his throne there, and then his son Solomon built the temple there, and God previously, though, had selected Mount Zion as where he wanted his temple to be located, and it was the holy mountain. Remember, this goes back when in Joshua chapter 1, I believe it is, we read where the tribe of Judah first conquered Jerusalem. Yeah. But even further back, Abraham, when he delivered the kings and rescued Lot, he went to Salem, which was Jerusalem to the king of Salem, Melchizedek, and he worshiped God there and offered tithes and offerings there. And then later, Mount Moriah, which is the Temple Mount, is where Abraham went to offer up his son Isaac, believing that Isaac was the son of prophecy, a son of promise, that even if Isaac died on the temple, or I'm sorry, on the mountain, that God would bring him back to life again. I mean, he had complete confidence in God. It seemed like an odd request. Of course, God kept him from killing Isaac and substituted a lamb in his place, because remember, Abraham said, you know, God would supply himself a lamb.
Yeah.
And of course, then we see Christ presented as the Lamb of God. Remember, it was John the Baptist who said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And he's pictured in the book of Revelation in heaven as the Lamb of God. And so, but he's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so the birth of Christ, the fact that he came into the world, is a fulfillment of this prophecy, for unto us a child is born, a son is given. That was fulfilled because Luke chapter 1, starting verse 30, says, "The angel said unto her," speaking to Mary, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son." There's the son, "and shall call his name Jesus." And that, of course, is a fulfillment of Emmanuel, Christ, you know, God is with us. And it says, "He shall be great," in verse 32, "he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And this was his purpose, to come into the world as the Messiah. And I heard somebody on the radio recently, like I said, getting all upset over somebody suggesting that Jesus would go to the throne of David. They said, "That's not in the Bible." They were actually yelling at the person who asked the question about this, saying, "That's not in the Bible. Why would you even lie about such a thing?" And yet here in Isaiah chapter 9 and Luke chapter 1, the fulfillment of Isaiah 9, it definitely says the Messiah would receive the throne of David.
Yeah, and I think there's many multiple passages that that speak about this very fact,
mm-hmm.
that one of the reasons that the Lord came was to fulfill this promise. And I think to understand it, we also look at 2 Samuel chapter 7, which is when the promise was given to David, which was a short-term promise and a long-term prophecy and promise, because mm-hmm. there's wording in here that indicates this was not fulfilled through Solomon entirely.
No.
Because Solomon is dead.
Yeah.
As far as today. So in 2 Samuel chapter 7, David has this desire to build the Lord, to build a house for the Lord. And he goes to Nathan, and Nathan says, go ahead and do it. And the Lord comes to Nathan at night and says, you better tell David to stop this, because you know, he's got too much blood on his hand. This isn't going to be him.
His son do it.
Yeah, yeah. And he goes through this this promise, and I'm trying to find out exactly where I want to pick up at. Let's go to, oh, here we go. Verse 10, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Now, they've moved around quite a bit, haven't they?
Right.
So this is obviously there was a time when they put their anchors down there in Jerusalem for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously they ruined that through their sin, and they moved. And so this is speaking, there's a time when it will move no more. The Jews will be there. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them anymore as before time. Well, we know that's still happening.
Right.
So we know that's not been fulfilled yet. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, so that hasn't happened. And the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Now, if we just stop there, that could fulfill Solomon, no doubt about it, because in the sense that you're going to proceed out of his bowels, we'll establish his kingdom. But then in verse 13, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever.
Mm-hmm.
See, the forever now just took Solomon out of the equation.
Right.
And so now, to fulfill the promises of God, there has to be an eternal throne, basically, mm-hmm. of David. And so when we look at, like you've already read Luke chapter 1, I mean, the angel said to, in the Annunciation, in the pronouncement to Mary, the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So I'm not sure why this individual got so irate or upset.
Yeah, I couldn't understand it myself.
I mean, look in Luke 2, after he's born, mm-hmm. you know, in the city of David, a city of David, a savior, right. which is Christ the Lord. You have in Luke chapter 1, when Zacharias is proclaiming this great thing that God has done, he's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Acts chapter 2 says that he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, and that was David talking about in the book of Psalms, and Peter was quoting him in the book of Acts. So, man, all over this scripture, the scriptures, there are indications, there are clear-cut scripture that shows right. that that's going to be fulfilled.
Absolutely. And let me give you some other ones here. There's a title that's given to the Messiah called the Branch.
Yeah.
And we see this in various spots, and I can't go through all of the passages, but I'm just going to give you some and just kind of skim through them. Isaiah chapter 11, starting in verse 1, it says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Now, Jesse was the father of David, so this is referring to David's household. And a branch, with a capital B, that's the Messiah, shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And then it goes on to describe the events of the millennial kingdom. Now, that language that's there about reproving with equity for the meek of the earth, and then smiting the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. That echoes language in Zechariah 14 and Revelation 19, when Jesus returns to the earth and slays the armies of the Antichrist with the sword that goes out of his mouth, and then rules with a rod of iron. And then, the events of the millennial kingdom, and it describes this rule over them in Jeremiah 23, again, verse 5. And behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely in his name, whereby he is called, or shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Jeremiah chapter 33, again, he says, will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. And we can continue. Jeremiah has several things, but jumping over to Zechariah chapter 6, starting verse 12, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, behold, the man whose name is the branch. That's the Messiah. That's Jesus. And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. Whose throne's that? That's the throne of David that we've been talking about, that he is going to take. Chapter 14, Zechariah, shall come to pass, in verse 16, shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And there he is. This is the King, the branch, the Son of David, that sits on the throne of David to rule. And as the angel told in Luke chapter 1, verse 33, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. This is pretty effective. Why somebody would deny that Jesus is going to take the throne of David is beyond me. This is a fulfillment of prophecy, and to deny that is to deny the Word of God. It's to deny the reason that Jesus came into this world, isn't it?
It sure is. I mean, it's different when you don't have clear-cut scripture, and I teach our people, you have the clear Word of God, and you also have, sometimes you have principles. For instance, I can't go to a verse that says, thou shalt not do drugs, but the principle's all over scripture. And I think, we're not even dealing with something, well, it can be interpreted or looked at this way. I mean, this is just a complete denial of revealed scripture.
Right.
And that is very dangerous to do. It's arrogant. It's proud. And I hope whoever the individual was that you heard, and maybe he's not the only one, or she's not the only one, whoever you heard. I try to teach our people, don't ever let the Bible not correct you. And when you get to the place where you're not willing to be corrected, God's going to shelve you anyway. And I hope that these individuals don't at least get to that place where they got to face it. I mean, it's right there. The only way you get around it is by willingly being ignorant or changing it, one of the two. And you'd have to change a lot of the Bible to get away from this fact that, I mean, what was Matthew written for? To prove that he was of the seed of Abraham and the seed of David.
David.
I mean, that's in verse number one. It says
heir to the throne.
Heir to the throne. I mean, it's so clear that that's what every Jewish person was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, they got excited the week of Palm Sunday when we said, I mean, here he comes. Here comes the branch. Right. Here he is.
Exactly.
By a few days later, they're like, well, we don't want this guy, man. He's all bloodied and beaten. Mm-hmm. He's not the guy. He must not be the branch.
Yeah. We're not going to get to the December 25th year today. We're running out of time on that because this is an important thing to talk about. And I just want to let people know I'll be talking about that probably Sunday night. And I hope you'll join us Sunday night for our program at 11 o'clock on Sunday night. We'll be touching on some of these things and also our annual reading of the birth of Christ according to the scriptures. We will have that. I believe we're going to be doing that in the first half hour, the 11 o'clock hour, the first half hour there of the program. And let me invite you to tune in Sunday night. We'll talk about this some more. And we have a plenty of reason to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who came into this world born as a baby, took on human flesh, became a man so that he could live and do what we couldn't do, which was obey the law in every point. And then he went to the cross and did what we should do, die to pay for our sins. Well, I hope you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Join us next time. Thanks for listening. God bless.
Merry Christmas.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word.